Hello, and welcome to Electric Sisterhood, episode 181. I don't know nothing about birth and no egg.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Pyro Girl.
Yeah, we got a guest host, people. It's gonna be awesome. This entire episode, it's gonna be so awesome.
Oh my god, Ninja, please stop it.
I can't stop it. It's stuck in my head. I watched way too many 80s movies, and then I watched the Golden Globes last week, and I watched the tribute to John Hughes, and I was just like, oh my god, I remember all those movies, and I'm like totally stuck in it. And then you were watching Breakfast Club earlier, so like, I'm stuck here.
And you want to know what else you should be stuck on?
Our website?
Yeah, so why don't you plug it?
Make sure that you keep visiting us on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use a short address, which is?
esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce into the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and you can also listen to some great shows coming out of the ESH camp.
That's right. We've got some really entertaining things coming up to help you get through your week. We've got your geek covered. So you can check our shows out every Monday, new episodes. Then followed by that, our very own King Baby Duck helms the Boston Bash Brigade, which you can find at bostonbashbrigade.com. Their new shows come out on Tuesday, and those bastards and wenches are hysterical. You follow that up on Hump Day, you know, bat and cleanup. We got Deuces Wild helming out with Geek Aggro. So right there, boom, got your week all the way to hump day. But then to get you through the rest of the week, or just entertain you for the rest of those days, because, you know, our podcasts don't take 24 hours to listen to, unless you're really, really drunk, which in that case, good for you. But otherwise, you can follow our Twitter stuff, as well as some other social network things that we're doing. We're blowing up on the social media activity this year, people. I can be found at twitter.com/ninjasista.
And I'm at twitter.com/ladyesh.
You can follow King Baby Duck at twitter.com/king_baby_duck. Deuces Wild at twitter.com/deuceswild. And Vicious Smith, our boy, at twitter.com/viciousSmith. We also now officially have a Flickr account, so we're moving our photo galleries over to Flickr, so we can be found at, guess what, flickr.com/electricsisterhood. There's also a Facebook page, which Pandalicious is owning.
Yep. It's all tweaked, and new stuff will be up there. You can even put questions there. I check it every Monday, so if you leave a comment, leave a mail, and I think it's interesting or funny, I might just say it on air.
Become our friends. I feel like I don't have enough stalkers on Twitter.
You don't.
I need more. My goal is to, by the end of this year, be at least 2,000 followers. And only you guys can make that happen.
Yeah, stalker. So get on it.
Yeah. Follow Friday Me and tell people to follow me like crazy because I feel a little lonely.
So Ronery?
No, not Ronery.
Ronery?
No, I don't feel Ronery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't feel ornery either. Just sometimes I do, but not right now. So good. You can, again, hit us on Twitter. You can hit us on the Facebook page, which, what's the address of the Facebook page, Panda?
What do you mean? It's just look up Electric Sisterhood on Facebook. It's easy.
We don't have enough fans to have a damn private URL?
No.
Well, we need to get on that so we can be at facebook.com/electricsisterhood.
Well, I'm sure if you plug that in, that's where it will go.
No, it isn't. You got to have at least 100 fans before you can get
it. Oh, yeah, no, no. We don't have that many fans yet.
Well, people get on the Facebook. We've now told you about it. Become fans on Facebook so we can get that damn URL.
No, be fans of us because we're awesome.
Yeah, but also be fans so we can get the URL. That would be like a total solid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, do that too.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
So with that, I've done all my business. Well, I haven't done all my business, but I've done all the parts of the business that I need to do for hair. So I'm going back to the valley, I'm going to kick over the mic of Thousand Truths.
Yes, please give it to me and stop talking. It's
so awesome. Like, for real.
Oh, God.
So good.
So, yes, I'm taking this from you.
Okay.
Stop talking.
All right.
Okay, so, hey, everybody. I know it's been a very long time since I've talked about anime, and that's with very good reason. I don't know if any of you anime fans have noticed lately, but the spectrum of what good anime is versus bad anime has seemed to shift. A lot of the animes that are coming out now seem to be kind of, I don't know, prefabricated.
Wait a minute. There's anime that's coming out right now?
I know. That is kind of... Anyway, it doesn't matter. The slow, seeping molasses amount of anime that is being licensed over here is very few and in between. It's a very slow pace. And then when they get here, they're really not that good. And I feel sad for the anime community because sadly we have to resort to all of our really good older anime. But no more, I say. I'm very surprised that when I watched this series, because at first when it was mentioned so long ago, I didn't understand what was so good about it. Magic, rest in magic. Yay. Place.
Rest in internet peace.
You know, brought it up, and I just thought, this sounds like another saccharin-infested, no plot, won't move me, happy-go-lucky anime. And for the longest time, I was unwilling to even give it a shot. A year or so later, it's come back to me, and believe it or not, I have changed.
Oh my God, is it because you're more mature now, you can really appreciate it?
No, it's because, for one, I gotta get out of my own circle that assuming that only old anime is good anime, I have to be willing to look through the muck to find the shiny thing, and I have found a shiny thing. Granted, I'm like sorry. I said, like, I feel like a magpie. Like, I'm a ferret who stole something shiny. And in fact, I have. In fact, I have. So the anime I want to talk about.
Wait, I want to go back to this ferret thing.
Ferrets steal shiny things like magpies. Which are like birds, I think.
Okay. I'm good. I'm going to go back to the point now.
Ferrets steal shit.
I trust you. I'm going to go back to my corner now.
And I'd rather be a ferret than a magpie because I'm scared of heights and I'd have to fly and that would just be horrible. I tend to like the ground.
I'd rather be a human than a ferret.
Well, yes. I mean, if I had my choice, human and I got my choice. So who knew?
Ferret or magpie? Let me think about this one.
Well, out of the three. But if I only had to choose between a magpie and a ferret, I'd want to be a ferret.
I would ask for the third option of human.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of having a long tail and being kind of furry and scurry about. Anyway, I have digressed. Let me get back to the subject at hand.
Okay, I'm going to go back to my corner. The show is going awesome, by the way.
So the anime that I want to talk about is Shugouchara. And I'm not going to go into the whole plot and the outline because one that's been talked about on this show. But, I mean, from my standpoint, this is an anime that I would put right next to Kaleidostar. Yes. And I was surprised because at first I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this too much. And the main character reminds me a lot of Sora. I mean, in the sense that she's, you know, she's always doing for the good. You know, she's always very upbeat and she always has a positive spin on everything. And the really interesting thing about Amu is that when you first see her in the series, you know, she comes off, she puts on this facade, like she's like the rebel and everyone thinks she's mysterious and she's cool and she's spicy and girls are fanning themselves, like younger boys are like,
she's spicy? Is it like a habanero spicy or like a chipotle spicy?
Like a
cool and spicy.
Cool and spicy. Like, And it's just a facade. Like, it's a face. Believe her, you know, she actually wants to be really accepted, but she doesn't really know how. So she puts on this face, you know, puts on this mood, and everyone's just like, oh, don't mess with her. I've heard all these stories. And, you know, deep down, she's just like, oh, I've messed up again. She's mm-hmm. like, no one's going to be friends with me because I, you know, because she just doesn't know how to relate. And, I mean, we've all been through that stage.
No, yeah. Actually, I've always known how to relate to people. Like,
you know
my
what?
Entire life. It's
you
like,
know what?
It's awesome.
All right, fine. Maybe not the ninjas of the world, but the pandas of the world have been where she is. Now, granted, I don't have pink hair and I don't have magical powers, but...
But if you did, you would totally be able to relate to this character.
Well, in the magical sense. But, I mean, the story is really cute. And, I mean, it's actually really deep, considering. I mean, when you look at the pictures, you think it's, you know, it's... kind of like a Peach Girl, but it's really not.
Oh,
like,
geez, I don't want to watch another Peach Girl. I don't think I can take it.
I liked Peach Girl, but I mean, that's me.
Oh,
but
I mean, hate you because you're really tan and you've got light hair.
It's
so you
I know.
Suck.
I know.
Automatically.
Let's not go into it. But regardless, at first I was very, you know, ready to throw it into the garbage. But I mean, it's a really deep story that unless you're really paying attention to it, you're either going to think it's like the biggest pile of
story. You keep saying it's great and deep.
Yeah. Okay. So inside of now, this is going to sound really weird.
That's bad. When you got to start it off as, okay, this is going to sound weird.
So here's the preface. Okay. Inside of everybody.
Oh God. Okay.
Preferably children is an egg.
Is an egg.
It's an egg. And inside this egg are, like, dreams. Like, whatever you dream that you want to be, your passion, your love, it will make a guardian character. That's what a Shuguchara is. And that's, like, your would-be self.
Okay.
You know? And Amu has three. Which
she
is really...
She probably have one.
Yes. So the fact that she's got more than one makes her really
special.
Yes.
Okay, of course.
I mean, like I said, everyone's kind of people have these eggs, but one, you don't usually see charas. Like, they tend to stay inside you until you either become who your chara is, or it eventually dissipates and you grow up and you're a sad adult who does something boring and you hate your life.
Okay. So you either nurture your egg or you become...
Exactly. Or you become something completely different.
Okay.
But because, because Amu puts on this face, you know, and she keeps herself locked in, there were three periods of her life where she wanted to be something different. So that's why she's got three. Now, there's this assembly, like the student council at the school that she goes to, uh-huh. and they uh-huh. each have one. You know, and only people who have Shuguchara's can see other ones. Or if you're really young... Sometimes because you're about to birth one. I know that sounds really weird.
I'm trying to stay with you.
When you're really young, right before you're going to birth one, you can sometimes sense them or hear them. Like if you've held on to that dream or that urge, sometimes you can still kind of tap into the world of them. And this society, you know, helmed by the prince, which, you know, blonde hair, kind of like a very young Ariyuki from Gravitation. Amu's kind of got a crush on him.
Tadase.
Yes, and he's so cute, and he's just really nice, and all the girls swoon, because of course there's got to be one person that everybody wants.
Right, otherwise it really wouldn't be a really good anime.
You know, so anyway, she births these three eggs, and she kind of freaks out, because she's like, did I just birth three eggs? You know, like, she just wakes up, and they're in her bed, and I mean, no offense. I would freak out if there were three eggs. And they're all three. They're three different colors.
I would freak out if there was one egg.
I know. So, but anyway, for a girl her age to wake up to three different colored eggs, a red, blue, and green, she took it fairly well.
Given she's in elementary school.
I mean, very, very collected.
Elementary school.
For her age, yeah.
Yeah.
I know, and anime characters are getting younger and younger for these stories of adventure. Oh, I can remember going through elementary school and worrying about the sixth grade dance, which was in junior high. So I didn't even have to worry about that then.
I can remember going through grade school and worrying about making cursive R's.
Oh my God, yes.
Not laying eggs. But by all means, continue.
So they're at this assembly and Tadase, the the prince is giving this speech, you know, and she's sitting to herself and she's thinking, she's like, man, I really wish I could be the kind of person who can express her emotion. But because she's got this exterior on, this mask on, she can't. Well, this red egg starts to open up and she's just like, well, you can be. And, you know, it, she completely takes over Amu. Amu stands up in the middle of the assembly and she's just like, I love you. Like, just, you know.
Everyone's just like, what the heck?
You know, and of course, the prince being very calm and demure, he's just like, I like somebody else. You know, and then she kind of runs away because she's utterly embarrassed and I perfectly don't blame her. You know, but everyone's like, she's so cool to be able to admit to her emotions. So cool and spicy. I mean, like, it's really
upbeat. And we established that that spice is chipotle.
Yes.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so there's this bad faction, because with every good action, with every good guy, there's a bad guy. And it's really funny. Oh my God. He's actually really hot. Anyway.
Really? More like extreme.
I think so. Oh my God. He's a little old for her, but I'll get into
it. He's in high school. She's in elementary. Hello.
Yeah.
Pedophilia in your enemy.
Regardless, so there's this bad company, and it's actually really funny because the company is called Easter.
Everything's so, egg themed.
Everything's egg themed in this series.
Obviously.
And Easter, what the Easter company is trying to do is they're trying to find the embryo, which is this magical egg that can pretty much grant anything. Uh-huh. It's like a genie, but an egg.
But in an egg.
It's an egg genie.
Uh-huh. Okay. And
so they're trying to find it.
You're starting to lose me. I'm just letting you know.
I know, the egg thing. But anyway, so they can turn eggs into X eggs, which turn black and have a big X on them. And then they can become X characters, which are kind of like the polar opposite of a Shuguchara. You know, they're a little bit more powerful, and they never really say anything, or they say one or two words, and, you know, they tend to display a power to what the Chara would have been. So, like, there's a...
So they're kind of like the emo version of the Chara?
Like, there's an episode where there's this chef, and he's about to get married to, like, this socialite, and he's worried that she's going to leave him because he's, you know, he's just a pastry maker, and, you know, and he's an adult, but he's still holding on to that dream, so he can still kind of sense Chara and whatnot. And it actually starts, you know, I think it holds a whisk, I want to say, or something, you know, cooking related. And he uses, you know, terminology that relate to that. And, you know, so when they fix him, or they, you know, seal the X egg back up and turn it back into a regular egg and put it back in, you know, people.
Wait.
It's really complex.
Back up.
Regardless.
Say that again.
Okay, so when the Easter people, you know, because if you lose sight of your dream or you start believing that you'll never achieve it, an egg will become an X egg. It will become black and bad.
Uh-huh.
And if it stays that way for too long, it will hatch into an X character and it'll have a big X on its head. And it usually will display some type of characteristic to whatever your dream was. Uh-huh. So if you were an artist and then someone told you you really suck at drawing and you get really depressed, your X character, when it finally came out of its X egg, would probably have like a pen and would like scribble and would make like hate marks everywhere or something. So like it all pertains to whatever your dream was.
Uh-huh.
But it's really...
No, I just wanted you to explain the process of when it goes back.
Okay, so...
Oh, can I explain it?
Go right ahead.
Usually Amu, the main character, she'll char change with one of her three eggs and become this super awesome badass heroine, I guess you can say.
Yeah.
And, you know, she'll say a few words regarding to what the egg is, and they're like, oh, so it's not that bad. And she's like, yeah. And, you know, she points at the egg and there's this heart that appears around it. And she makes
that's so hard. Oh, yeah, I love that. I love Ran. I'm sorry.
Focus, ladies.
Sorry.
Daya's my favorite. Anyway, you know, she'll make this heart-shaped thing with her hands, and it'll go right over the egg. And she's like, heart lock on, open heart. And it's like this giant heart ray. and purifies the egg, and it goes back into its owner's chest, back into their heart.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So Ninja, think Sailor Moon.
See, I'm just about out of this boat, ladies.
Okay. Anyway.
I'm just letting you know.
Anyway, so, I mean, to get back on track. So, yes, so she's a superhero. She's saving the world's dreams and hearts and eggs, and Easter is bad. And, you know, they send henchmen that really aren't bad.
They aren't good.
They're not good, but they're not bad. Like, they have their agenda. And once she, you know, ruins that agenda, they're like, well, I can't stay at Easter. So I guess I'll go do something good with my life, like produce music or really be a teacher. Or so, I mean, the bad guys aren't really all that bad.
Music director.
You know, so, and stuff like that. But the three Charas that you see in the first season of this are Ran, Mickey, and Sue. Ran's the red one. She's really good at sports, very optimistic about everything. I don't think she's ever said anything negative. Mickey is the blue one, and she's very kind of quiet. She's very artsy. So, like, she can draw just about anything. And she's actually probably kind of emo, I'd say. Like, she's kind of, I wouldn't say emo.
You think she's kind of emo?
Well, I mean, she's blue, but, you know, she's always just kind of like, well, if she doesn't believe in us, we're going to disappear anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really, she's a great comic character between all three of them. And then there's Sue. I mean, I think Ron is adorable, but I think when I first saw the series, I really took a liking to Sue. Very high, sweet voice. She can bake and fix anything.
And an airhead.
She is kind of an airhead. You kinda. Know, blonde. Yeah, she's an airhead. You know, she often gets lost.
she gets lost.
Yeah.
Filler.
She can get lost. She gets captured once by a bad guy and then ends up cleaning his apartment and, like, cooking him food. She really doesn't have a problem with that. She has no problem with slavery. But
what?
Yeah. It's weird, but I like her because they're all very optimistic in their own way. But throughout the series, you know, they're trying to find the embryo. They're trying to figure out who is going to birth it. I really wish there was another word for it, but that's really kind of it. So, I mean, there's obviously the romantic harem tension because the whole council outside of one is an actual girl. That was the biggest turn for me in the whole series. When I found out that one of the characters who you think is a girl
was actually a dude
who was madly in love with Amu.
Are you surprised? Hello.
Totally pulled an Eriko on me. But the thing is, I knew, like in Fushigi-Yugi, you know, like probably after episode 10, that Naruko was a dude. But you didn't find out about, what is it?
Nishika.
Yeah, you don't find out about him, her, and so like until he has to go off to some other place to learn how to dance because he's a part of a dance, like a traditional Chinese dance group, and he's gonna like end up running the company, but he has to go and train. And it was such a good episode, but anyway, it was so good. But I mean, it's just. It's serious in its own way. Like, I mean,
I'm sorry. How is an anime? You're gonna have to explain this one, ladies. Okay. Where you're mostly birthing eggs, which are your dreams, or else they become emo and have to be cured by a heart ray by the combination of two other eggs.
Okay.
Serious?
Because you're taking the literal translation way too seriously. I mean, if you take out the whole egg heart ray deal, it's essentially just about holding on to your dream.
Uh-huh.
And being willing to accept that you have to hold on to it, you have to believe in it for it to come true. Okay. Or for it to be real.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's really more or less a story about coming into your own. Overly exaggerated with a lot of hearts and happiness and entities that aren't but I mean, if you take all of that away and you strip it down to what the story actually means, it's actually really positive, because I mean, there are, you know, these kids who lose their eggs, you know, they're very depressed, and they're just like, I don't know why I try, you know, they're really depressed. Like, I mean, they really go out of their way to make you feel like they've lost all hope in themselves. Mm-hmm. So it's like Amu's like that best, that friend of yours who comes at that very last moment and says the one thing to you that changes your whole perspective on life. That's what this whole series is. Like, if you were having the worst day, like, whatever your job is, Ninda, let's say that, you know, you're just awesome at everything, and everyone around you one day is just like, you'll never amount to anything, we don't know why you try, you know, you should just go in a hole and die, and you start believing that, and you start to be bitter, and you become heavy, and you become grounded in all this negativity, and that one friend was like, I think you're awesome, you're really good at this. Don't listen to them.
Believe I would probably yourself. Have sex with that friend.
Well, that's probably why Tadase is madly in love with Ron, and why Ito wants to bang her. I mean, everyone kind of wants to bang her.
Every guy does.
It's true.
Pretty sure Rima too, but you know.
We won't go into Rima.
Yeah.
But
why not? We're talking anime, ladies.
Well, I mean, believe it
or not. Lesbianic like, activity, incest, and pedophilia. Okay.
Well, we already understand that over there in Japan, that it's not unlikely for an older man to date a young woman. So, yes, they've shifted the paradigm in age. I mean, usually in the animes from, you know, our younger time, usually the main character was in high school or like middle school going into high school, and you know the main man character was like in college, like Sailor Moon or Fushigi Yugi if you're going to go by age. So I mean, obviously with the demographic shifting to a much younger fan base, certain anime
that doesn't mean that particular aspect should shift.
Well, I mean, we shouldn't be that surprised, because if you go by manga, if you go to buy Cardcaptor Sakura, Clamp, love them. There was a teacher, I don't remember what his name was because it's been forever since I read it, but he was actually engaged to get married to one of his students who was in elementary school.
Ew.
I think it was Rima at, yeah. I don't remember the name of the teacher. But I mean, he didn't do anything improper. He was just like, I'm going to be sitting by and waiting for you to be the right age. And then it was completely normal.
Ew.
For the culture. But anyway, so I mean, if you're looking for something that will make you want to believe in whatever your dream was when you were a kid that you thought you were going to end up doing, and then for some strange reason you grew out of it or you didn't think you could do it, this anime will make you think, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have given up so easily.
And maybe if I believe hard enough, I'll birth an egg.
Well, you're ruining it.
What if it's your dream?
So, to birth eggs?
Well,
technically women already do that.
Yeah,
but
I know. So if you're a man who wants to birth eggs, well, then have a chicken farm and have some hens. you'll indirectly birth eggs. But that was just the anime. There's so much more going on that I haven't delved into, but I know Pyro has.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you talk to us about it?
I'm kind of the overly big fangirl of Shugotara. When Magic was on the show and she talked about it, I immediately fell in love with it, obviously. It is done by Peach Pit, and it started back in 2006. The manga was published back in 2006. Over the past few years, there's been more and more fandom coming with it. I mean, you got video games coming out. You got a musical that's been out since early 2009.
A musical?
Yeah, Shugotara, the musical.
Okay.
Oh, I can only imagine how this looks.
Well, it's pretty much just people cosplaying and singing on stage.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to watch it later tonight because I downloaded it. And right now, as I know of, there are four games out. And
four video games.
All for the DS.
Okay. Like, what type of games are they? Are they, like, I know there was an anime series that I liked, When They Cry, where they actually had, like, I'd say six games out, and they were all kind of, like, you know, story-esque, where there was a lot of writing and talking, like a lot of dialogue between characters. I don't know what they call that kind of genre of game. Like pick your own adventure kind of, I think. Mm. But do you know what type of game they are, or just that there are four of them out right now?
Just that there are four of them out right now. And it's kind of hard to play them when they're all in Japanese.
Yep, that's why you have to learn kanji.
Kanji!
Kanji. But going back to the tension between Amu and Ikuto, because I wanted to bring this up for a while. They start out normally, you know, getting to know each other, bad guy, good guy versus thing. And then it starts to get sexual.
Oh, God, the lock and the key. The lock and the... Okay,
what?
So ninja, all right, let's... there's a prophecy about a person who would have more than one guardian.
Oh, isn't there always a prophecy?
There was a prophecy.
Yeah.
And the school's been holding it. And
of course they have.
When they found that person, she was supposed to have the Dumpty lock. Now, it's this lock.
The Humpty Dumpty lock? Are you seriously?
No,
just the Dumpty. It's called the Dumpty lock. And it's this little lock pendant with these four hearts that are like shaped so they look like a four-leaf clover. Which I think would have been a really great indication that there was more than three Charas, but I didn't think that far ahead so early. But anyway, it allows Amu to not only character change with her Charas, but it also allows her to character change with other people's Charas, which she finds out that she can do later on in the series. But anyway, like all things, if there's a lock, there's most likely a key.
Uh-huh.
And Ikuto has the key.
Of course,
the Dumpty key.
The Dumpty key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yes. So once they figure out that they each have the other piece, there's this tension about, well, we don't know what happens when they combine.
Oh. and you're telling me that this is really serious.
It is.
The Dumpty lock.
You
were about to say the Humpty Dumpty lock. Exactly. Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
Everything was egg themed.
Yeah, regardless,
regardless, the tension, at first, like she said, it's kind of, oh, you're a bad guy and I have to fight you. But then it's like, but I want to know more about him.
I want to go
on strolls
on the beach with him.
It's like, I want to
tell him about my eggs.
Not to mention, it doesn't hurt that when he character changes, he's got cat ears and a tail.
Oh, my God.
I am such a cat boy fan. But regardless. So, I mean, the tension gets pretty high. And at one point, they're standing near each other. And the tension's kind of, you know, because he's older than her. So he kind of looks down at her. And she's, like, you know, kind of getting blushy. And he's like, do you want to know what happens? We should try it. You know, and, like, the background gets kind of fuzzy. And they're in this weird, warm place. And,
uh-huh.
You know, right when he's about to...
Fuzzy, weird, warm place. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And what is... And he's just about to insert his key, and she freaks out, and she's like, no! And it completely, like, breaks, and he's just like, well, that's okay, it's too small anyway. The lock, not the key!
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he goes about his business. But yes, talk about tension. OMG!
I didn't get the serious story here, right?
Alright, so outside of the pedophilia, strong sexual tension toward cat boys, and the mystical
egg birthing,
and the birthing of eggs, and the assuming a character that isn't yourself, it is actually a very deep story. I stick to my guns when I say that.
Okay. It is. You have to watch it for yourself to understand the deep, intricate storyline.
Okay. Yes. So,
hey, I've been proven wrong on that before, okay, with Elfin Lied.
Oh my God, I loved Elfin Lied. But regardless. So, I mean, this is a lot lighter than most animes. And I tend to like my animes having depth. So, I mean, you really can't go by what it looks like. Because, I mean, the anime style is very young looking, you know, trying to appeal, you know, to the younger masses. So don't just assume that it's another, you know, cel-shaded, happy Naruto-esque minus the ninjas... sexual tension, angsty, crap that we're used to. It's a lot more than that. So you need to give it a chance. I would really strongly recommend that you give it a chance. Is there one more thing? Like, what's the one thing that you really love about the series, Pyro? Just one. Yeah, I know. You got to choose. We're running out of time. Got to choose.
Okay. You go first.
Okay, so they do have a lot of music going on in the series. And one of the bad main characters, who's actually Ikuto's sister, who kind of doesn't want any woman touching her brother because she wants to have sex with her brother. But that's
still totally my different thing, dang you.
Oh, my God. This is the sound of me checking out. Ready? Oh.
Anyway, outside of that, I like that everyone who seems to be on the bad side, you know, comes to realize that they're really not bad, and they just lose sight. I love the fact that these bad people aren't really bad. They're just misguided. And you just need something to put you on the right track. And I like that the anime focuses on that. Because so far, no one's died, which is nice.
It's very nice.
Trying to have sex with the elementary school chick.
Well,
it would be hot.
So that's my favorite thing from the series, is that all these bad guys aren't really bad. They're just misguided, and that they're going to come around. Like, they come around at the end.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
So what about you, Pyro?
All right. My favorite thing totally has to be the episode where they showed Ikuto's past, because you saw him as a little boy, and he was just so adorable. You're not into Shugo-chara party yet, but I'm pretty sure you get to that soon.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
So
okay. Ikuto all around.
Okay. He's your favorite thing. I mean,
no,
I guess
Daya is my favorite character out of everyone.
I think I have to change my mind. Because, I mean, that's about my favorite thing. My real favorite thing about the series is when, because at first the assembly, the student council, like, they have Charas and they can kind of character change. They can't character transform, so they can't turn into their Chara, essentially. But later on in the series, they start developing that power that they're able to do that. And I love just how bipolar a lot
everyone
of the Charas are. Like, literally, everybody's something's up. Like, one girl's Chara makes her like a baby because she kind of liked being an only child and liked all that attention. So she liked being a baby, so her Chara makes her turn into kind of like a baby, and she has this huge rattle that she uses as like a mallet. The Tadase's prince, it's really funny, you can't call him prince in the series because all of a sudden he kind of character changes and all he wants is world
call
domination.
Me prince.
And he gets, I mean, very, oh, it's hilarious, and it's really worth. You just watch an episode. Maybe not the first one, because you'd be like, what the hell is this egg business? But give yourself 7 episodes. Watch 7 episodes. If after that you're like, this is crap, well, then that is your opinion. But I thoroughly enjoy it.
And that's going to be your thing. I want to take the hot sister-brother love. Let that there.
We've done shows about this. I'm going to say it for the first time.
Incest is best.
Incest is
very
itchy.
Best.
So, but that's pretty much Shugo-chara. Cute inner deepness with a plot of pedophilia and incest.
Egg birthing.
Pyro approves.
It's Panda and Pyro approved.
Humpty Lock.
Dumpty Key.
Oh boy. I was totally gonna, you know, not talk about that. But that's it. Uh-huh. Ninja, do you have anything to talk about outside of birth and eggs and
Humpty Dumpty Locks and incest and pedophilia?
Yeah.
Let me see. Wow. In the box. Yeah, I got like one. You may have noticed that we sound a little bit different. Or at least I might sound
different. Well, she sounds different.
I'm actually testing out a new microphone
If you checked out the website last week, you know that Blue Microphone came out with a new mic specifically designed with podcasters and live recording artists in mind. It's called the Yeti. I'm actually using it right now. It's freaking sexy, and we're going to be using it for the next few podcasts to see how it works out. And if we like it, we're going to pretty much become Blue Microphone exclusive users for the podcast recording. So wish us luck on that, and I will let you know if it's worthwhile. You can, if you don't want to wait for the final review, purchase the Yeti online, both at Blue Microphone's website, www.bluemic.com, or you can go to the Apple online store, apple.com/store, and check it out there. It retails for about $149.95, and if it sounds as good as I think it does, it's probably going to be freaking worth it.
It actually sounds really good from here.
I'm pretty
so, and it looked really cool. I mean, there are pictures on it, on the Esh site right now that Ninja took, so you can see just how massive of a audio beast.
Oh, it's smexy.
It is. It is John Connery, Sean Connery, sexy.
Yeah, not John Connor, sexy.
It's Sean Connery, sexy.
Or sexy.
Like you would take it out to dinner parties.
It's I would put it in a little tuxedo and take it out to dinner.
And then take it home and rip all of its clothes off and talk into it.
Probably. And then I would actually do a post about it on our website, which you can visit at www.electricsisterhood.com. Or you can use our short address, which is
esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. The short address will bounce to the long one, and you can check out any articles that have been written within the week. If you have any questions about those articles or just questions for us, you can email us at questions@esh.mobi. If you aren't listening to us on iTunes, you can check us out there. You can plug us into any RSS reader, any podcast search engine, and we're also a part of the All Games Network.
That's right. You can find episodes of the Electric Sisterhood podcast re-airing on the All Games Radio Network, found at allgames.com, on Wednesday nights. Okay.
Okay.
Not Monday nights. Although
that might change.
But for now, the new episodes go out on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, which works out to be 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can bounce into the chat there, talk to us, because most of the time we try to make it in there.
So if she's not there, I'm there.
And if they're both not there, I'm always there.
And on top of that, you can come to the All Games site earlier in the day and check out some of their really entertaining shows over there. You can listen to stuff like Orange Lounge Radio.
Or Gametopius.
Dead Pixel Live.
Or In-Game Chat.
There's Bobby Blackwell Show.
Friday Night Gaming has finally made the lineup officially.
The Escapist Lounge.
Don't forget Video Game Outsiders Live.
TQ Cast.
Oh, and then don't forget
I will not
No, that's the name of It's the show. The Spooky Horror Hubba Hour.
The Spooky Hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spooky Hour.
In any event.
The Spooky Horror Hour, I think.
Boo.
It's scary.
Okay. So between all of the stuff over there at All Games and the stuff coming out of our camp, like Boston Bash Brigade, helmed by our very own King Baby Duck, with new episodes that go out every Tuesday.
And Geek Aggro by Deuces Wild.
We pretty much have your nerd covered, people.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure you're taking advantage of it. And if you pop into any of the stuff over at All Games or Geek Aggro, or you end up picking up an episode or two of the Boston Bash Brigade, make sure that you let them know that you heard from us about it, because we like getting credit.
Yep.
You know, for making the matchups. We play Matchmaker. And we're so good at it. Like,
you guys are.
So I'm going to have to say, Panda, do you have anything to declare?
Disclose? Oh, I need to declare that in anime, it's okay to birth eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be in elementary school and think high schoolers are hot.
Uh-huh.
And want to do them.
Uh-huh.
It is okay in anime. That is what I want to declare. It is okay in anime.
Pyro.
The anime world.
Pyro, do you have anything that you would like to disclose?
I would like to declare that I wish you guys would all stop the pyro hate. That is all.
Who's hating? Yeah, who's hating? People.
Long story short, people.
Okay.
I will beat them to a pulp.
I will go on a hunger strike until the pyro issue is resolved.
Don't be hating.
Flamethrowers going everywhere. Big giant fight.
We will fight to the death.
Yes.
Not if you're doing a hunger strike. You're going to be weak as shit.
Yeah, no.
And also, thank you for having me on the show.
Anytime.
Ninja, disclosure. Have any?
I do. The microphone that I'm using, the Yeti, was provided by Blue Microphone, so I did not pay for it. But that in no way, shape, or form is going to bias my review. If it sucks, I'm going to say it sucks. But if it doesn't suck, I'm going to say it doesn't suck.
Yeah. Suck or no suck.
Suck or no
suck. Or no suck.
I think that should be our new rating system.
I think we've just birthed in an egg our new rating system.
I think so.
So I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Pyro Girl.
And we are out of here.
Have a good week, folks.
Bye.
Peace. So guess what we got for you now?
Clips.
That's right. Some more of the interviews from CES.
Rack 'em up. Here we have Ninja talking to the folks over at Psycho Audio about their new Xbox headset.
So we released a PC version last year that we were shipping. We're out of stock and we'll be shipping again in March. This is our beta Xbox version. The biggest thing that changed is connectivity. So you're going to have your optical connection with the Xbox. Pretty straightforward. So the gist of what we're doing here. Our name Psycho comes from the science of psychoacoustics. And what psychoacoustic studies is, how does your brain need sound pumped to it in the ear to build this 3D map? And we know from psychoacoustics that there's certain cues that you need. One is that all sounds in nature hit both ears. There's no sound that just comes to one of your ears. When I'm talking to you, both your ears are hearing. So when we play a sound or one of our speakers, and all these are all speakers up here on the bridge, and these are hollow tubes, we play one of our speakers, it plays to not one, but both ears. That's cue number one. When I'm talking, if I were talking on your left-hand side, my voice would come and hit your left ear a little bit more quickly than your right ear. There's a timing delay. So you have a shot that takes off on the right-hand side here. Same thing, plays down to both ears. But since it's to the right of center, it's going to play to your right ear before your left ear. Recreate another cue. The third big one is, when I'm speaking to you, it's not like a regular headset where the sounds originate from right here and just getting blasted straight into your ear. Rather, my voice comes across the front of your ear, if I was behind you, across the back of your ear. So when we play the sounds down the tubes and out these ports, these trombones down here, across the back and across the front of your ear. So the brain starts to say, okay, I'm hearing all these cues, I'm picking this up, I'm building a 3D map. That's what we do.
So audio cues that will trigger in the appropriate ear in which the sound is being heard from?
Basically, and the headset that they were showing off, which was a new one for the Xbox 360, because they're currently, Psycho's been making headsets for PC gamers, and they're out of stock, as you heard him say, is supposed to give you the ability to be more immersive in the game in sound and have, a truer reaction to what's going on in the screen. The headphones themselves are very comfortable. They're very bulky over-the-ear headphones, but they're also very light. And as he mentioned in the clip, all of the speakers, to begin with, are on the bridge over the top of your head, and then they fire downward into these clear canals and that then split the sound and travel across your head. But I do appreciate the fine folks from Psycho Audio tearing themselves away from lunch for a few minutes to talk to us and demo their new headset. In this next piece, Evermore talked to Jed Seifert about the new line of Beatles album art skins for iPods and iPhones from musicskins.com.
Really, one of the major things that's enabled us to get this deal done is the timing. With the release of the remastered CDs, which had topped the charts the instant they came out, and the release of the new Beatles Rock Band game, it's really created a buzz, and there's a lot going on with the Beatles estate and, you know, releasing these things, which has really opened up the doors for a product like ours to come in and enable us to sign a licensing deal. You know, had we come to them 2 years ago, I don't think that we would have gotten the deal done because of everything else that's going on and really how a lot of the stuff is targeting the younger generation. So our product was just one more extension that it enabled the youth to really show how much they love the music and how much they support it and how the Beatles are still relevant today.
Okay, first up, more disclosure bits. They gave us a bunch of the Beatles skins.
And she put it up on Twitter for all of Twitterverse.
And I put it on the Tweeterverse for you guys to take a look at. And they are great quality skins. And you know I take my skinning very seriously because customization, it's like next to cleanliness, which is next to godliness for me. Being a Beatles fan, being able to have, you know, the Abbey Road album artwork or Yellow Submarine or the Sgt. Pepper's cover, which to this day I think is one of the most clever album cover artworks that I've ever seen. I loves it. And you can get it on all kinds of platforms. They don't just make them for iPods and iPhones. They also make them for your computers, both netbook size up to 17-inch size machines, PC and Mac compatible. So you definitely want to stop by musicskins.com. We don't get anything if you do, but if you enjoy music of any genre or art, because they have lots of different stuff there, you should definitely check it out. I mean, Panda, do you have anything on your Mac right now?
Just a red thing to protect it.
Yeah.
Tyrone's red pimp suit is what I call it. Protects him from the hoes.
In any event, Mr. Seifert is not a hoe, and we appreciate spending some time with Electric Sisterhood.
This is an interview where Ninja talked to the folks at Trilobis Mobile about their free Orbit social phone book application, available now for the iPhone and soon for the BlackBerry.
So, you know, if someone, like, wants your feeds all the time, great. But if you don't want someone's feeds all the time, your only choice is to hide their feed or get everything. This allows you to control the chatter per person or per group. So I can turn how much I'm getting from them through Facebook on any given day, hour, you know, whatever, month.
Well, that's really neat.
I can turn them up and down. So that's kind of a cool feature. It also allows me to sort by different groups. So I did Rock Climbing Club and Inner Orbit, which is really like a core work group.
Gotcha.
I could do as many groups as I wanted in here. It populates favorites based on usage. It consolidates status updates for both Facebook and Twitter. I don't know where it went, other one. That just is ongoing and, like, stays up to date. And, yeah, that's kind of the main gist of this. It's free, and it's available for download on iPhone, like,
today. Right now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so the app looks really cool, and like she said, it's available right now in the App Store. It works on the iPhone, and it works on the iPod Touch as long as you're connected to a Wi-Fi hotspot, because obviously you can't get status messages from Facebook or from Twitter if you're not connected to those interwebs somehow. I like the idea and the feature of being able to turn down the amount of stuff that I get from somebody or turn up the amount of stuff that I get from somebody on my Facebook or on my Twitter. Because, you know, sometimes you get people that go on, you know, Twitter jags where they just tweet about everything all day long. And you just want them to really shut up so you can get to some of the good stuff that you might miss. But at the same time, the way that it works is that it synchronizes your address book in Facebook as well as your Twitter friends' information, if they've provided it, into your address book. And so it makes me a little bit leery to do it because I have so many people in my address book that I don't necessarily want to open them up to email collection or anything like that, which I'm a little worried about since it's a free application and not a pay-for application. And they didn't give me any kind of indication of whether or not it was going to move into a pay-for application or not.
Yeah, I can understand where your hesitation we're going to hear from Evermore again, and he actually had the distinct privilege to talk to a developer over on Mass Effect 2 by the name of Jesse Houston. Have a listen.
So Mass Effect 2 basically is the second part of the trilogy. It takes place about 2 years after the end of the first game. We like to call it like the dark second act, similar to something like Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. That being said, we took a lot of time and a lot of feedback from the community after the first one in making kind of our big feature list. So one of the things that we did is we pulled out the combat system from the original, totally revamped it, really added a lot more depth to the combat and making it a lot more user friendly. Another thing we did, we actually started looking really heavily at conversation systems. We wanted to further them still, so we added what we like to call the interrupt system. So it's where we actually allow the player to take visceral control over the conversations. You'll be prompted depending on how you act. So if you are more, let's say, of a renegade character, you're going to be prompted to actually do renegade options more often. And as you do those, you're going to, like at E3, for example, we showed you throwing a guy out the window. In this case, you take a much more rude approach at interrupting Morden to try and interrupt, to get him to kind of get to the point. He tends to babble on, that kind of thing. You're also going to see that we really improved on performance and, the actual overall level design. In Mass Effect 1, there's hitching, and we weren't quite there for the 30 frames per second all the time. There's a lot of streaming pop-in, stuff like that. This time around, you're not going to see that. We had a lot of opportunity to experiment with the engine during Mass Effect 1. Took that learning that we had and then applied that into Mass 2 and created a much more streamlined and seamless environment. You're not going to see the loading tunnels that you would before, the elevators, that kind of thing. Popping is effectively done away with. So those are the kind of the big areas that we wanted to approach. And we still wanted to, focus still not only just on combat but on the story as well. So because we're still a core RPG. Thus far the numbers are looking really good, much higher than the original. Our expectations are much greater than the original. We think we have a better product, and we think that the product's going to speak for itself with the consumers. Our fans seem to be really excited. Our pre-sales are really high, so I think we're in good shape.
So when they say user-friendly, does that mean that I'm not going to have to manually save every 5 fucking minutes?
I'm hopeful that that's exactly what it means.
Because, don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Dragon Age Origins, which I'm playing a lot of right now, but because they do give you an autosave feature, but it only kicks in every once in a while, so, if you happen to die and you don't save and say you turn in, 3 or 4 quests, then you have to return those in. So I'm sure something like that happened a lot in Mass Effect 1. Granted, I haven't had the chance to play that yet, even though I am looking forward to the second one since you preach Mass Effect 1 like the gospel.
Mass Effect!
So
it's the gospel, according.
If it's anything like that, then I hope to see that improve.
You won't be saving every 5 minutes, and you don't really have to save every 5 minutes in Mass Effect 1. But as far as user friendly goes, Mass Effect is pretty much a massive choose your own adventure, and while it is RPG, it is action RPG. But at times, it became a little clumsy to get to the action that you want to get to, and really propel the story forward as far as where to jump, how to jump, what you needed to get to, and things like that. So performance-wise, with those kinds of elements in the game, it was a little difficult to get through the game with the additional load times. So the fact that they've retooled the gameplay mechanic is awesome, and I look forward to hearing more and talking to you again soon, Mr. Houston.
Okay, well, finish eating what you're eating.
I'm chewing gum.
Well, stop that.
That's a little
stop
dry.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait a minute. What if I do the whole podcast like this? I'm just going to chew and talk and be like, oh my God. Like, seriously.
Do not go Valley on. We're East Coast girls.
Like, oh my God. Like, seriously, video games, right?
Like, oh my God, there are these buttons that I touch. And I
touch a button. Like, my favorite button is green because it's like my soul.
Oh my God, green is the new blue.
Just totally the new blue, which is totally the new black, which is like
OMG.
WTF BBQ.
And I haven't been drinking today.
Me neither.